Yeah, I really love those guys. Okay, should we get this thing going?
I think we should.
All right, this is welcome to 3 out of 3 Falls, a wrestling podcast where we discuss 3 matches, one chosen by each of us, your hosts, and one chosen by our random match generator. My name is Joe.
And my name is Jason.
And we're going to start this first episode ever off with Jason's pick this week. Or I don't even know if we're weekly, but we'll see. Which is, do you want to tell him what match you picked, Jason?
Yes, it is the first ever Hell in a Cell match from Bad Blood in Your House, 1997, October 1997, between the then European champion, Shawn Michaels,
His coveted European
his
championship.
coveted European championship versus the Phenom, The Undertaker.
And but the championship not on the
Not on
line
the
in this
line.
match.
This is purely a blood feud. Purely a
Also,
blood feud, because
what type of blood?
a large amount of blood.
Would it be good blood?
No, it's bad with 2 D's.
It's 2 Ds. I typoed that in the email to you. I apologize.
No, it is. It actually is bad blood with 2 D's.
Do people who like each other ever say they have good blood between them? Probably not. Anyway, continue.
As long as they're using 2 D's in good,
Yeah, G-O-O-D-D.
it'll be okay. But this match was kind of as a result of what took place at SummerSlam, 1997, when
Yeah, what was the build up to this?
Shawn Michaels was the referee between the in the match for the WWF Championship, between the challenger, Bret the Hitman Hart, and the champion, The Undertaker. And there was the build was, can Shawn be trusted as to be an impartial referee? Who is he going to turn on? Is he going to help the other to, either keep the championship or regain the championship? The big angle at the end was that Bret and Shawn kind of got into a verbal altercation. Bret spit on Shawn Michaels, who was holding a chair, and Shawn went to hit Bret, but
Oh,
Bret
yeah.
hit the Undertaker. Then Shawn wipes the spit from his nose and says "fuck," and then counts the 1, 2, 3. Bret Hart is the champion. So the
Dropping
under,
F-bombs.
yeah, dropping major F-bombs. And so this match, I can't remember if they had a match at the September In Your House. I don't even know if there was a September In Your House. But this was no, there was a British pay-per-view in September. That is where Shawn Michaels won the European Championship
Oh, wow.
from the British Bulldog.
Yep, I remember that.
But the October Bad Blood was basically the winner of this match would go on to face Bret Hart for the championship at the 1997 Survivor Series. And
Okay.
Undertaker added the added stipulation of, it's not only a cage match, it is Hell in a Cell.
Yes. So this is the first ever Hell in a Cell match.
Yes, and I think Bad Blood took place in Philadelphia,
Huh.
ECW territory, which is why I think some of the spots that took place in the match took place as they did.
And lots of blood.
Lots of blood, very bloody match. What did you think
I did not. I did
of the
not.
match?
Okay. Well, first, I like this match a lot.
Yeah.
A couple of things, and we can talk about any of these. Your choice. I wanted to talk about. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes. This is the first one with the apparatus that as JR calls it, of the Hell in the Cell, right?
Yes.
And watching this, First of all, 1997, WWE
Oh man.
had the basic, like, camera work, their presentation in the past 20 years has been polished, but is relatively the same. Video
Yes.
packages have
Yes.
improved, but relatively the same.
Well, the production quality, like you can tell that this
Yeah.
is, they are kind of still in the doldrums of the fallout of both the early 90s sex scandals, steroid scandals, plus the complete disaster that was the new generation in the mid 90s. So we're kind of in the period of the tail end of the new generation and the beginning of
Yes.
the Attitude Era. And that, I think, WrestleMania 13 is kind of the slight beginning of the Attitude Era because of the amazing match between Stone Cold and Bret Hart, that submission match.
Yeah.
But this is, you still have.
I have an even earlier beginning for what I think of
Really?
as.
What do you think it is?
I think maybe the Attitude Era took a couple years to really click in and begin.
Yes.
But I think it's because Stone Cold said so.
Oh, King of the Ring.
King of the Ring.
Oh,
96, right?
yes. Yes. I think it was 96.
97 or 96?
I would
I want to
say
say 96.
it's 96 because Triple H won 97. He was supposed to win 96.
Yeah. So, but in any case, the production values are pretty close to. What I mean, the production values are worse, but the way that they put together these video packages and actually film the match, especially in a match like Hell in a Cell, where you're more limited in terms of camera usage. But not only is the production that it remind me of now, but they do all of the tricks in the first Hell in a Cell match.
Oh yeah, I mean
You have the guy.
they set the bar extremely high.
Yeah, but you do like you have Slaughter looking under the ring in the beginning, which King had a great quote.
What did he say?
He's like, "What even is under that ring? Or what all is under that ring?" And it's like, how do you not know?
Well, I think he said something, there's some rope,
Yeah.
maybe some extra turnbuckles.
Yeah.
They
It didn't
really
look like there were 40 tables, which like now, so maybe that changed in terms of production.
Well,
But
I think that, this that was the pre that was the setup for what happens at the end of
at
the
the
match.
end, yeah.
Yes, which we will get
And
to.
some of this, so I think some of this can carry over into talking about the next match, which we're gonna do here in 3 or 4 minutes. So I'll skip some of that, but I do want to say that this match was really good. This match reminded me about how great both of these guys are. And God, there was that grisly pile driver. There was that elbow from hanging on to the cage. There was a table spot that was just riveting. There was a blood drop on the camera from the blood.
Oh
I
yes,
didn't catch.
and
Did you?
the cameraman said, "Oh fuck," whenever the
I didn't
blood
catch that
got
either.
on the camera. But it
Man, a
was
jabroni
perfect.
cameraman.
It was perfect. There's first of all.
Was that cameraman Too Cold Scorpio? Or was it actually a cameraman?
I think
I think it was a cameraman. My note was wrong.
no. I think that it was either
Was a
a
wrestler?
local
A
talent
local?
or, something like that.
He beats that cameraman up.
No, he does. He completely does. He completely annihilates him. I mean, some of the notes that I have are, first of all, Vince on commentary, hilarious.
Yeah.
What a maneuver the whole time
I liked Vin I liked that commentary team a lot.
of JR, Vince, and the King.
Yeah,
Well,
and
this is pre-puppies King as well.
people forget how funny JR is. Maybe they don't. Maybe I do.
Well, this was.
When he goes, "This is not a good night if you are a Shawn Michaels fan."
Yeah, that's true. Well, this is the kind of the. This was at the tail end of JR's failed heel turn. Whenever he brought in fake Stone Cold, fake Diesel and fake Razor.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But
Who was the face going into this match? Taker, right?
Taker was the face. Shawn was obviously the heel, completely ballooned off of his face, coming down the ramp. There was so many elements in this match that made it fantastic. They really told a story. The spots were well timed out. There was a good sense of drama. And honestly, whenever they went to the top of the cage, it was fantastic.
Yeah, so they go to the top of the cage. They go outside of the cage. Kane rips the door off of the cage, so it's not even that good of an apparatus. Either that or it's Kane is just so strong. But I was like, they did all of the things.
Yeah, they did all the things.
Except through, except for busting through the cage, which happens in the next one.
Which happens in the next one, which that was it's hard to say whether or not that was a planned spot or not. But
Yeah.
that's that in the second in the King of the Ring 98 match. The choke slam through the cage. That is, it's
Yeah.
debatable if that was actually supposed to happen or not.
Is so.
Final thoughts on this match. Great,
Yeah, I was gonna say this is
great
we
match.
just did 10 minutes, man,
Yeah,
so
we just did 10
we gotta move
minutes. We
on.
gotta move.
I have a couple more things I wanna toss out about this match.
Sure.
Because there's just so much, but I want to give props to Hebner's tragic count at the end there. He was so sad counting that those three,
Yeah.
so conflicted. And I want to say that when they were doing crotch chops to HBK's barely conscious body on the ramp, that was super weird. And I want to say that throwing garbage was great. I miss when you go back and watch a match from this era or before, and the fans are legit pissed and they're throwing, they're not like throwing garbage because they're maliciously like bored and taking over a show with stupid chants. They're just, they don't like that the bad guy won and they're throwing cups of like mostly empty cups of soda at him and, you know,
This,
like pickled
this,
up popcorn wrappers or whatever. It's awesome.
these were in back in the day whenever they used to serve beer in paper cups.
Yeah.
So, you would get your Michelob, which
Yep.
usually, as you and I have experienced whenever we saw wrestling live, you drink a lot of beer. And
Oh,
you have
yeah.
to find somewhere to put that those empty cups. And sometimes you want to throw them at bloodied Shawn Michaels in
Yeah.
1997.
It adds so much
Well,
to
yeah.
like there were the boo and the response. And now they just like whenever there's a bad guy just like backing up a clean, enormous ramp and people are sort of booing him or whatever, like it's like, oh yeah, but when you watch this here, it's like, holy crap, they are not happy that Shawn Michaels stole that win
No.
after. Did they build Kane up before this? They must have, right?
There
I
were
can't remember.
vignettes where
That must be Kane.
Paul Bearer was like, Kane is coming. You forgot about your brother. He's coming. And Vince is, that's gonna be Kane.
Yeah.
And it was great. I love this match. It was a great way to start the
Yeah.
start that match type. It really set the bar really high.
I think it did for this podcast too.
Yeah, it's a great match.
Match number two for this podcast
Match number two.
is Charlotte Flair versus Sasha Banks, Hell in a Cell at Hell in a Cell 2016. This was my pick.
So this is the first women's Hell in a Cell match.
Another first. It's like the 30 something Hell in a Cell overall.
Yes, and it's the first women's match to main event a pay-per-view, correct?
Yes.
Wow.
Main event, WWE main roster pay-per-view.
Wow. Wow.
And I picked this match because I watched this pay-per-view live, and it was shortly before the election for the president of the United States of America. And I do have some weird thoughts about the placement of this match on this card and its historic importance, just 2 weeks shy, right, of an election where the media would have you think that we would have a historic woman, becoming the first female president of the United States of America. And how weird that is because of all the Trump support from the McMahons. Just kind of this weird I don't know. I don't even know what I want to, if I have anything I really want to say about that. But my brother was over watching this pay-per-view with me, and he does not care about women's wrestling. And right when this match started coming on, he tried talking to me about politics, and I barely saw any of the match
Oh,
because he was yelling at me about Donald Trump.
this is the pay-per-view where that happened.
Yes, so he was yelling me about Donald Trump, and I kept saying, "Whoa, look at that move. Let's watch this match." And he kept just screaming at me, and I tried to kick him out, and it was a nightmare. If he's listening to this, that would be hilarious. But I was furious because I really wanted to see this match, and then so I went back and watched it, and I gotta say, I really like this match too. I heard some negative things about it afterwards, and I mean, ignoring kind of the build-up where they just, people have all this stuff they want to say about them swapping titles or how the match wasn't as much built about them wanting to rip each other's heads off as it was about the history making, blah, blah, blah. When you see them standing in that ring and that cage is coming down, I bought in, man. I was like, this is intense and amazing, and these are both great wrestlers, and I am kind of surprised every time I watch them wrestle and I want to see them wrestle again because people complain about how often this feud goes on forever. And I'm like, when Charlotte was leaving NXT and passing the NXT title to Sasha, and Sasha was the heel and Charlotte was the face, they wrestled like over and over. I feel like Sasha had like three title shots before she left, and then there was like a holiday dead zone where they just kept showing Charlotte versus Sasha matches. Like it was
Sure.
they WWE, someone in the back, Triple H, just loves watching these two women wrestle. This is not the first time where they've driven this feud into the ground, even though
Yeah.
I don't think they really drew. I think this feud has gotten better each match, which is shocking to me because when they kept wrestling each other in NXT after Sasha won, I just kept going, I don't want to see this match anymore. Let her fight whoever, But this time they keep one upping each other. Anyway, say something. I'm droning on and on.
So I thought that this match overall was a B plus. I felt like it was anticlimactic. Just because, and I think mainly because of the way the match was set up. Because of all the majority of the large spots took place, or at least to me, took place at the very beginning of the match. Like
That
they set the drama really, really high. From the, from the moment that they touched. And then, once the actual match started, I felt like it kind of lost momentum overall. But, it's still at the beginning, lots of like crazy stuff, brawling into the crowd,
yeah.
power bomb
The table,
through the
man.
announce table to Sasha, here come the EMTs, you think Sasha's out, then holy shit, Sasha's back. The crowd is going crazy. So much, the chairs are brought in, side suplex to the chair. Then they go through the Eddie spots. Then I felt like he kind of lost it whenever that was that whenever there was that really horrible table break by Charlotte to the outside. I write
Was
down
that
I
a
write down shitty table break by Charlotte. The crowd goes mild.
Oh no. Yeah, I don't know. I'm forgetting a couple of things. I should have watched this more recently.
Yeah.
There was a sidewalk slam to a table I thought was good. There was a double knee from the wall
Yeah,
of the cage.
double knee was good. I mean, a lot of the action was good on the outside,
I
and
thought it picked up enough. I also have a difference in opinion about the ending from what I've read and what I've heard and other podcasts, in that I thought the table not breaking twice looked worse than a table breaking once.
See,
It looked like it just looked brutal for some reason, just ragdolling her against this solid object that she just bounced off of
sure.
like a and oof, it something was weird about that. Like, and then watching this after watching the Michaels Undertaker
Yeah.
and watching Michaels Undertaker and going, wow, look how great these guys' entrances are, killer. These guys have so much charisma. These guys, look at Michaels as the heel deciding last minute he wants to get out of the cage, you know? And then watching this and seeing Charlotte does the same thing, right? And they have baller entrances and they just come out and you're like, okay, they are not at the moment HBK and The Undertaker, obviously. But they've been here, what, a year, a little, almost a year and a half in the main roster. And I was just like, this is great. These people are great. These people are, I don't know. I was thumbs up for this
You loved
match.
it. You loved it.
I would say I almost loved it. I think there were things that could have been better, but it's like you're asking people how long in 1997 Taker had been. When did Taker debut? 90?
1990, Survivor Series 1990.
Yeah. And he had wrestled in WCW.
As Mean Mark Calloway.
Yeah. Not quite an indie, right?
Well,
And then.
he wrestled in USWA before that.
Okay, so WCW in 1989 was a lot bigger than NXT in 2014. Maybe?
Yes, I mean
Similar?
yes.
He's no spring chicken. Plus, you
He's
have
no spring
Michaels,
chicken.
who, when did the Rockers debut? 88?
Well, they technically Michaels debuted in the mid-80s in Tully Blanchard's dad's territory. That's where he
I mean, in
trained.
WWF, not
WWF, they 88. They were originally brought
88.
up in 87, but they got fired a week in. But then they got rehired in 88.
Is that after Jannetty killed a guy or something?
No.
Or did that? No, we don't. Let's not talk about that. Let's
Let's
move
not
on,
talk about that. No.
because we're over our 10 on this
We
match.
are
But
over the 10.
these people, sorry, Sasha and Charlotte debut in the summer of 2015 on the main roster and have this good of a Hell in a Cell match, even with the pressure of it being the first women's Hell in a Cell match and the first women's match to main event pay-per-view, and the added pressure of storyline blunders leading up to it, and Mick Foley screaming at them like a maniac dad, and badly written promos, and the fact that they've just wrestled each other 5 times on pay-per-views or whatever. Those are, I don't know, this match overcame some weirdly bad odds or something. And
I
it
mean,
just, I don't know. I'm signing off on this. You can give me your final thoughts. I
All right.
apologize
Two
so much.
things. Do not apologize. Two things. I felt like the table not breaking at the end did the match and the crowd a disservice. Because I felt like, as you know, whenever you see a great match, you need that release before the match is over. You know, like what if Hogan didn't slam Andre at WrestleMania 3? Like what if he just like clotheslined him and that was it? You know, I felt like it just, you know, there was such a high sense of drama at the very beginning of the match that at the end it just kind of, you know, petered out at the end. But overall, still a great match. You know, still better than a lot of the other male main roster work that goes on every week and every month.
Absolutely.
One thing that I wanted to point out, the Hell in a Cell, the actual Structures entrance song, as it's lowered down. You know how they, you know, have these like crazy random entrants in the Royal Rumble that are, you know, unexpected? What if one year, you know,
The Hell in the
the
Cell
Hell
came
in the
down.
Cell came down
It
and
was number 22,
it
but
was number 22?
how would it be eliminated?
What I actually thought would
Oh, Big Show could tip it over or something.
kill half the crowd.
Rip the door off, bring it in the ring, and then throw it over the top ropes, and then it has to go up.
What I actually imagined was, someone just randomly throwing pieces of it, you know, through the curtain, and it's just landing on the, you know, ramp. It would be like, you know, Curtis Axel, the structure that was never eliminated.
I really liked when Axl was still in the Rumble for 3 months. I think they didn't do enough with that. That
No,
guy's funny.
they didn't. But yeah,
Okay.
overall, yeah, great match. And I'm waiting for the Hell in the Cell to enter the Royal Rumble.
Okay. We'll keep waiting for that one. Moving on to our next match, which here's the segue. Sasha Banks, huge fan of Eddie Guerrero. Age when Sasha was 10 years old. Sasha was 10 years old in 2002. Now, we're just shy of that a couple of years, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, because the random match generator picked our next match as Booker T and Eddie Guerrero versus the Basham Brothers. SmackDown 276, December 2nd, 2004. So I imagine this is pretty close to the height of Sasha's fandom for Eddie Guerrero. As a 12-year-old, Sasha Banks watched this match.
It was also the height of Eddie's human growth hormone use.
Thank you for bringing that up because I never watched Eddie in the WWE or F or whatever.
Okay, so
I
this
did
is.
watch him in WCW a lot. And when he came out in that car, I was perplexed. When he walked to the ring, looking so swollen and plastic with frosted tips, I was perplexed. When he did really sweet moves like that old school into the Rana thingy, and it was so smooth, I was perplexed because I was like, how does this weird action figure man do this stuff when he's so bizarrely, I don't know. I
He
was
just
sad
jacked.
and
He
then
just
happy when
jacked.
he was doing the moves, but sad watching him just stand there, look weird. I was so confused by Eddie Guerrero 04. This is a weird thing to talk about because short, and he dies in 05,
He
right?
dies in 05. He dies in like April or May of 05.
So, I mean, I was a big Eddie fan in WCW. I wasn't watching wrestling in 04, but a lot of conflicted things about this. Somewhat offset by the fact that Booker T's entrance is phenomenal.
Oh,
And Booker T is phenomenal.
Booker
Booker
T
T's
is amazing.
awesome.
Booker T is awesome. I've always loved him. Love Harlem Heat, WCW. Also, I remember actually watching Booker T as a part of the Ebony Experience in the Global Wrestling Federation, which was the old Texas World Class territory that was rebranded in the early 90s, 1991, and it used to come on ESPN every day for 30 minutes.
All
It was
right.
Booker T and Stevie Ray. But Booker
I
T
really like Stevie Ray too, but Booker T is the champ out of them.
Booker T is great. Before we get into this, random match generator. What the fuck? You really picked a doozy this time.
I Disagree. Let me tell you why.
Go for
When this match started, I thought my first note is who? What? Actual bros? Doug and Danny? I thought, look at these jabrones. They're only out because JBL. JBL is alternately amazing and like the worst and the best part of this match is JBL, who apparently stopped being jacked and was rewarded with a title run.
Oh yeah, I mean this
And
is.
then.
I mean, I watched this era wrestling. I remember watching SmackDown with JBL's cabinet, and it was both brutal and amazing at the same time. This is the dregs of the post-Attitude Era WWE.
So yeah, so you have things like, I have a note here. Is this a matchup of match visuals and interview audio? It's like a totally different thing is going on at the announce table
Well, I
with JBL and Cole, and but at the which I hated, but at the same time, JBL's face when Cole asks him if he's a desperate champ is hilarious, and JBL has some killer lines like, the Bashams being the greatest tag team in WWE history. And then he said, and Michael Cole calls him out on that, and he says they will be due to association only.
So this is I rarely do I like television matches. There are very few instances where where a television match actually does anything for me. This is like house show level nonsense. The Bashams look like actual penises. They
Okay.
look like
So the
dicks.
Bashams,
Yes.
I thought they just looked like the most generic dummies
Yes.
ever, right?
Yes.
Just boring looking dudes.
Hence why they are in JBL's cabinet and are the, at that time, tag team champions.
No, they weren't the champs when they
Yes, they
came out in
were.
this match.
Yes, they were.
No way.
Yes.
The Basham brothers held belts
Yes.
in this match? How did I miss that?
That is what.
I will look this up.
Look this up because well, first of all, did these two teams fight each other twice? Because from what I remember in watching this, JBL was not on commentary. It was just Taz
Did you
and
watch a
Michael
different
Cole.
match?
I may have watched a different match. So there
You
may
didn't
be
go to
a series.
SmackDown 276?
I just typed in Bashams and Booker T.
Oh no.
Yeah.
So here's the one I watch
Yes,
as JBL on
let's go through this.
commentary.
Okay.
The Bashams come out. I'm thinking, why would anyone think that they have any shot at winning this match? It's so one-sided, right? And I'm thinking the Bashams totally blow.
Yes.
The story of the match is that JBL's on commentary. He's out there. Bashams are in his cabinet. Michael Cole's grilling JBL on being a shitty champ. Booker T and Eddie are good guys. They're on a team. They both hate JBL. But there's like a rope spot where Eddie pulls the rope, but Booker T, like they're both focusing on a Basham. Right? And Eddie pulls the rope to have a Basham fly over, but it's right as Booker's about to kick the other Basham, and he like Booker flies over, and then they get in an argument. And then, right as I'm starting to think, I kind of like these Basham guys because I kind of like their wrestling. I like how they sold Booker T's kick. I'm starting to like them, and JBL saying that they're the greatest tag team in WWE history. Then they win. They win the match. I have so many exclamation points at the end of this match. I wrote, I'm almost a fan of the Basham brothers. I was just so, the cabinet is so bad, it's great. JBL's so annoying on, I hated the commentary until the end of the match, and then I was sold. I don't know what happened. Must sound like a shill right now. I've loved all three of these matches.
You
But
are a Bashams fan. You love JBL's cabinet. You love Orlando Jordan. You
I was
love
going to ask what
the
you thought
whole
about.
shebang.
This is the first I've seen of Orlando Jordan.
You should.
In fact, I actually wrote down, this is how clueless I am about the mid-2000s, and not to sound racist here, but I wrote, do you, this is a question I wrote for you, do you like Lashley? And then I crossed it out and wrote Orlando Jordan, which is terrible. I think I wrote Lashley because I just watched a Lashley match at the Apocalypse Tag Team Apocalypto in TNA. But I felt terrible writing that and crossing it out.
You
But I was
should
just like, what
feel
is that? He's
terrible about
barely
that.
given any camera time. And he stands next to JBL. It was just a mess of a match. Actually, there's so much in this. I hope the random match generator brings us back to this SmackDown, because there's this. It starts. I watched a couple minutes of Torrie Wilson, Rob Van Dam, and Rey Mysterio versus René Dupri,
Oh, Lord.
a Japanese dude, and his little Japanese geisha lady. Hiroki or something? I was like, what is going on here?
You are watching peak UPN SmackDown. Like,
Yeah.
this is the epitome of what
Zero
mid-2000s.
regrets
Yeah.
quitting wrestling in the
Yeah.
2000s.
This is you really dodged a bullet in not watching
But I
that.
kind of want to go back to it. But anyway, I'm sorry. We need to wrap this up, so I want to hear, did you in fact watch the wrong match?
I did indeed watch the wrong match.
You gotta go. Okay. Here's the thing, you don't have to go watch the correct match, obviously. No one will wish that upon you except for the random match generator. But next time, go on the network, watch it on the, you still have the network, right?
Yes, I do. I do.
That's why I put the number, because no one knows SmackDown 276 as SmackDown 276 except for the WWE Network.
This is true.
So that's why I put the number so you could go find it easily.
Well, then that's what I will do next time, because I just typed
Booker
in
T.
Bashams and Booker T, and I got this random match that had, it sounds like there were
It's a good match.
elements of the same, probably elements shared between the two matches, but JBL was not on commentary. The Bashams were randomly the tag team champions whenever I watched it, and mine ended in a disqualification.
Oh, mine ends with a Basham win.
Wow. See, the Bashams won.
Right?
Yeah, the
No,
Bashams
with a
won.
pin, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
I
Wow.
might have been laughing too hard at them winning and I forgot how they won, but
Wow.
yeah, because Booker and Eddie get in an argument and the Bashams win. And I gotta say, I don't know, maybe you should watch this. Maybe you can go from hating the Bashams to disliking the Bashams.
That is a large jump in my feelings.
Right? I feel like the Bashams are even too boring and obscure to be the feature of a Where Are They Now?
Well,
Right?
what I mean,
That would get the fewest hits on WWE.com out of
you are
anywhere they.
correct. You are correct. One
Where Are
the
They Now? Hiroki would get more hits. I don't even know if that's her name. I apologize. I sound like a number two time in the last 10 minutes. I sound like a racist. Continue.
The one thing that I remember about the Bashams, more so than their, well, they originally had a different gimmick. I believe that they were like a part of an S&M love triangle with
Doug and
this,
Danny.
yeah, Doug and Danny, with this dominatrix lady named not Malaysia or something, Medina or something like that, who would just, they were wearing kind of like demolition style leather outfits.
Yikes.
The second thing that I remember is this Jim Cornette shoot interview where he was talking about how awful, which I love Jim Cornette. In listening to this podcast, you will soon discover that I love NWA WCW wrestling. Jim Cornette oversaw Ohio Valley Wrestling, and
Oh
he
yeah.
said, the main office would call up and say, send us, Doug and Danny, and they would go and work a dark match. And he said one time, I sent Doug and Danny off. They were my top tag team. They come back, they had hair before they left. They come back, they're bald. And Jim Cornette said, "What the hell happened? You had hair, now you're bald. What happened?" And Doug or Danny said, "Well, we were speaking with creative and they recommended, that we shave our heads." So Jim Cornette gets angry, as he is usually wont to do, and he calls up the main office and says, "What the hell? I sent you my best tag team. They had hair. They come back. They don't have hair. If you wanted them to shave their heads, at least let me book a, hair versus hair match so I can make some money off of this, turn it into an angle. That's what we're trying to do here in wrestling, not just randomly I send two wrestlers to a random town and then they come back with their head shaved." So that's the other tidbit
That's
there.
how Doug and Danny lost their hair.
That's how Doug and Danny lost their hair.
I
That's the only other tidbit that I know about the Bashams.
so I gotta say, thank you for telling me that story. But in the future, on our podcast,
Yes.
we probably should avoid summarizing bits of other podcasts.
True.
Maybe not the best. It's an okay way to go out this time.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have some outro music start playing over this part of our talking, but
Probably.
we will strive to avoid that in the future. I would love to do a whole podcast where maybe the random match generator will just give us Stone Cold promos for onnit.com or whatever, but it probably won't. Probably give us matches. But
Well, you never know. I mean,
you never know.
there's a lot. I mean, who
We
knows
just
if.
met this random match generator, and
Yeah.
the first thing it gave us was the Basham Brothers. So who knows? Okay, so we got to sign off. I
We're gonna
think we're
sign off.
probably closer to 40 minutes. But if you listen to this, thank you. We'll be back again soon with three more matches that we talk about. This is 3 out of 3 falls. Thanks for listening.
See you
Jason, you want to
soon.
say something?
We will speak to you guys. Well, hold on. Let me do that again.
Oh, man. This is that. That's it. That's it. That's it. All right. Thank you.